May my words speak your truth and be a blessing to your people. Amen. The question of why we celebrate Remembrance Day is a bit like the question of why we pray. We pray to offer honour to God and to give thanks for what he has done and continues to do for us. But at least as importantly, we pray to make space to pause and reflect and to allow ourselves to be changed from the inside out by something beyond ourselves. And Remembrance Day is similarly about offering honour and thanks to the people who have been involved in war, the volunteers and the conscripts, and to remember all whose lives have been distorted by war, the women and the men, children and animals who have suffered as a result of war. But at least as importantly, as with prayer, the process of remembering means that we set aside time to reflect and to allow ourselves to be changed from within by the voices and witnesses of those who know the reality of war in a way that I thank God that I do not. And we also remember so that we can learn. George Santayana famously said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." By remembering and heeding the voices of people who have experienced war at first hand, we have the potential to build a better future. The last veteran of the First World War to die, Harry Patch, commented on the base of his experiences, "War is organised murder and nothing else." And yes, the starkness of this phrase, while conveying one truth, conceals another truth. Because the paradox of war is that, while it witnesses to the depths of inhumanity that people can stoop to, hidden within this story are other stories, which witness to the goodness which is within us. A goodness which shines out even within the darkest times. Harry Patch himself is an example of how, even when surrounded by the brutality of trench life, the loss of friends, uncertainty and fear, constant shelling, gas, hand-to-hand combat, even then, the goodness which was within him transformed his actions as far as he was able. As a conscript, Harry found himself in a situation which was not of his making, and which in many ways was beyond his control. However, rather than capitulate to his situation and give up his ownership of his actions, he was guided by his Christian faith to show compassion for those he encountered. He and his gang of machine gunners, five of them, made a pact not to kill an enemy soldier if they could help it. They would aim for the legs rather than shooting to kill. Towards the end of his life, Harry remembered an encounter he had had at Passchendaele. Trapped in a battle situation of kill or be killed, Patch had a vision of a better option, rooted in his recognition that the German soldier who was facing him was not other, but was another, like himself. He recalled the story of Moses descending from Mount Sinai with God's 10 commandments, including, "Thou shalt not kill." And he could not bring himself to kill the German. Instead, he shot him in the shoulder, which made the soldier drop his rifle. However, as Harry explained, he had to keep on running towards the German's machine gun. So in order to proceed, he shot the soldier above the knee and in the ankle. Patch said, "I had about 5 seconds to make the decision. I brought him down, but I didn't kill him. Any one of them could have been me. Harry, surrounded by the noise and horror and confusion of battle, allowed himself to be moved in his actions by something bigger than himself and his need to survive. He reached into a bigger story of what it is to be human, and as far as he was able, acted with compassion. And so, while there is truth in Harry's statement that war is organised murder, war is also the micro actions of honour and grace and dignity which are threaded like jewels through the barbarity. And Harry's recognition of the undeniable connection between himself and the German soldiers he faced bears witness to the truth of the passage we heard from John this morning. We heard Jesus' words that the glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. It was through and to the glory of God that Harry allowed his knowledge of the story of faith of which he was a part direct his actions. And in the choice he made to show love beyond fear, recognising and honouring his unity with his German counterpart, he demonstrated the oneness to which Jesus is pointing. After the armistice, people could not understand the silence that they heard. A recording exists of the moment of the First World War ceasefire being enacted. At 11:02, a deafening barrage of gunfire continues. 3 minutes later, it has been replaced by silence and the tentative song of birds. One person who encountered this moment recalled, "Well, do you know, strangely enough, we wept because the silence was so awful. You see, we'd been used to the noise of guns all day long, all day long, all day long. It was so strange to have silence." It was as if they had lost the memory and understanding of what peace sounded like. They couldn't imagine themselves back in a world without the great guns, the cannons and the screams. Soldiers actually found it hard to believe that the years of war which had shaped them, which for many were all they knew of adult life, had finally come to an end. One man remembers the moment at which a friend broke the news to him. "My friend said, there's a sign on that thing marking someone's headquarters, and it says the war's over." "Don't believe it," I said. "Nobody would believe it. The war couldn't be over. It had been on for years. Nobody would believe it could finish." "It's a fact," he says. "It says there that the war was over. So somebody rode back and read this thing that said, as from 11 o'clock this morning, hostilities have ceased." And then we realised the war was over. The book of Proverbs teaches us that without vision, the people perish. This phrase has been echoing through my thoughts as I have come to prepare this sermon. It was a vision of something better which inspired Harry Patch's actions, and a lack of vision of what peace could mean and be which made armistice hard to understand for the soldiers we have heard from. And yes, peace is the thing we fight wars to achieve, and the thing which soldiers believe they are gifting to us through their sacrifices. And yet, we also struggle to understand what peace would really look like. We know we long for it, but I don't think, living in the world as it is, it's easy of us to imagine it. Just as the soldiers struggled with imagining the armistice. And this is where our faith and our scriptures come in. Because we have been given a better vision. The vision we heard of in Micah, of peace and justice. It's only imagination which will enable us to start to see the world we are promised in the scriptures and to see how it can be born in the real world around us. We don't understand the peace of the Bible, the lion and the lamb. We don't understand how that world works. How do things work when you don't have an us and a them? When you don't figure out who you are by saying who you want? When you don't covet a lifestyle bought with the suffering of others? When you don't turn a blind eye to the festering sores of our world until they call for a military response? We can't imagine that world, and yet we follow a man and a tradition which could. And so another response which Remembrance Day calls for from us is a courageous willingness to widen our imaginations, to question what is given, and to look again at our world and our part in it. And the passage from Micah gives us a few good hints about how to start to do this. The Lord's house, it says, will be established as the highest of mountains. And so peace starts with the recognition that our ultimate ruler, head of state and monarch, is God. Many nations, says Micah, shall come to the mountain of the Lord's house. And so this is a vision of a joining across tribes and cultures, which was reflected in the micro level in Harry's split second decision. And at the close of the verse, there is the telling comment, and no one will make them afraid. Historians tell us that in the build-up to every war, there is propaganda, misinformation, and a cultivation of fear towards those who are different to us. It's not always easy to spot, and hard to resist. But Micah reminds us that for peace to flourish, we need to reject the voices which preach fear of the other, but rather we need to join with all kinds of people under God. We need to cultivate an attitude which looks for what we have in common with others, not what is different about them. We need to remember that, as Jesus teaches us in our reading from John, it's when we are one with other people, as the Trinity are one, that the world may know that God loves them. If you don't know any servicemen or women, it's easy to think of Remembrance Sunday as mainly to do with the two world wars. My friend at Theological College, Matteo, was an ex-soldier and military policeman who had served in Afghanistan. Like a lot of people who have experienced combat situations, Matteo didn't say a lot about his experiences, but he did occasionally comment. One thing which struck me was what he said when we were watching a film for our ethics course at college about the ethics of using drones in warfare. Matteo talked about the difference between American and British deployment of soldiers in conflict areas. American soldiers, Matteo said, are very often kept far away from the people they are in conflict with, sending missiles and drones from a distance. This means fewer losses for the soldiers, but a much higher risk of civilian casualties. In contrast, British soldiers engage in situations on a more personal level, which puts them personally much more at risk, but which makes harm to non-soldiers less likely. Similarly, Matteo described the American troops, when they were present in towns and villages, as dressed like Robocop, so protected that their faces were not visible, and they seemed less than human. In contrast, the British soldiers would deliberately wear less protective equipment in order to be present to the local people they were interacting with. This again reminds me of Harry Patch's choice. The choice in asserting the humanity of yourself and the other person you face to resist fear and to make yourself more vulnerable in order to bear witness to our shared humanity. And it makes me proud of the men and women who serve in our armed forces, who resist the temptation to keep themselves safer at the expense of the possibility of relationships with other people. And there is something for us all to learn here. To share one final story from another recent conflict. When I first knew Patrick and was getting to know his friends, the one who was the most kind and welcoming to me was Martin. Patrick and Martin went way back and had been at school together. Martin had served in Iraq, and although he was not an active combatant, but had worked as a driver, it was apparent when he returned from service that he had experienced something which profoundly affected him. Martin started to drink more and more heavily, and would often disappear partway through the evening, only to reappear a bit later. Patrick found him on occasion in tears, overwhelmed by memories of what he had experienced. It's unlikely that Patrick ever heard the full extent of what Martin had seen and done, but one story which Martin shared gives a hint of what he had been through. Martin had been driving along a road when he found himself in an area which had been a killing zone in battle. Burned out cars and tanks littered the road, as well as burned and mangled bodies. Martin saw the body of a young Iraqi, and looking down, he noticed that the man, barely more than a boy, was wearing everyday shoes with holes in the bottom. This small detail broke him. It doesn't sound like much, but it spoke to him of the humanity of the person who had died, of the poverty of the people who he had been deployed to fight, who were equipped with a gun, but no proper equipment like boots. And above all, it reached into his heart and reminded him that beyond any notion of government or nation, he and the dead Iraqi were one, as Jesus wanted them to be. Martin returned to England, but he brought his experiences with him. Over the next couple of years, haunted by what he had seen, Martin descended further and further into alcoholism and became homeless. He died alone in a public park. And sadly, Martin's story is not unusual for ex-servicemen and women who struggle to make the journey back from combat to civilian life. It's estimated that the number of homeless ex-British service people stands at more than 13,000. And so I encourage you to bear this in mind when you encounter homeless men and women, among whom ex-servicemen and women are greatly overrepresented. And if you are interested in making an active remembrance by donating to support them, then there is a charity, Soldiers Off the Street, listed in this week's newsletter, who would be glad of any contributions to support the work that they do with people like Martin. While there are practical ways to honour and support ex-service people, maybe the best tribute we can give them is to cultivate peace, the peace they risked so much for in their attempts to achieve it through their efforts. So to finish by remembering another voice who experienced war and who did not survive, although her words live on through the diary she left behind when she was transported to the Westerbork camp, Etty Hillesum. Her diary records the way that she was shaped by the suffering she experienced living in occupied Holland. Her wartime experiences led her to reflect, ultimately, we have just one moral duty, to reclaim large areas of peace in ourselves, more and more peace, and to reflect it to others. And the more peace there is in us, the more peace there will also be in our troubled world. In the world you will have trouble, said Jesus on the night before he died. But be of good cheer. I have conquered the world. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Peace is our birthright as Christians and something we are tasked to share with all people. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for the lives of peace which we enjoy and for the bravery and sacrifices of those who have been willing to act on behalf of others. May we honour the peace they worked to bequeath us through lives which nurture peace and unity. May we be people who work for the justice and love and dignity and truth which enables peace and which we see in our scriptures. And may that work begin in our own hearts and minds, spreading like cascades of healing light into our world. Amen.